You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Let's go to the Lord. Father, we come to you, and I just, Lord, today we praised you with our words. Lord God, and what a reminder today as we come to you, Lord, let us praise you in our thoughts and the intents of our mind, Lord God, as we're reminded of how good you are to us. Lord God, some men might die for a righteous man, but who would die for a sinner but you? Lord God, you're the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and we praise you for it. We praise you, Father, for the good, Lord God, that you have done so wonderfully, Lord, that we can't even comprehend it, that we can't even imagine it, that you would send your son to die on the cross for us. Lord, your love clearly displayed to us, even though we do not deserve it. Lord God, today we praise you, Lord, with our words. And I pray that, Lord, out of an abundance of praise of our hearts, Lord, in our minds, even now, we're thankful to you. Lord God, we give you the glory. It's great things that you have done. Lord, we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. You may be seated. Man. That was some good stuff. I feel like we could just do a retake of the worship, and man, we're good. And so, man, just praise the Lord. Thank you guys for being here. You're going to hear the best sermon that I have ever preached before today. The best one I have ever preached. So you probably don't know the story. So I have to, Steve, I'm not preaching today. So there was a fella in our church has since went to be home with the Lord. He came up to me, and after I didn't preach one Sunday, real straightforward, he said, "Man, brother, that was the best sermon you ever preached." And I thought for a second, I was like, "Wait a second, I didn't preach today. I'm a little slow." So, right, it took me a second to figure it out. And he's like, I was like, and just we both got to, you got to be able to laugh a little bit at yourself. And so I'm so grateful to be able to have a dear friend of mine and somebody that I've served alongside with for 15 years now. And just having him here yesterday, what a great turnout. We had our volunteers and leadership development. We had over 50 people that were here that volunteer, that serve in the church, you know. And there was one thing that stuck out to me. Well, there's a lot of things that stuck out to me, but one thing that we talked about yesterday, those who lead like Christ, and we talked about how they see what others miss. They're being willing to pay attention to details. They're willing to be focused, but then also they do what others won't. You know, we were talking about, you know, Jesus and him being the servant above all and doing what other people weren't willing to do, but then also true leaders like Jesus pay the cost that others aren't willing to pay. You know, and I'm grateful for all the volunteers in this place that serve, whether it's in the nursery, the connections, wherever you serve at young adults or teens. Man, thank you for being there, being a part of this church and serving. And man, what a great time yesterday. And so just grateful for that. We did record that if you were a volunteer, but that weren't able to make it. We should be able to get you some of that stuff. Audio record it to you, but man, it was just a great time yesterday, and so I'm excited to be able to have Steve Smith back up here all the way from Baltimore, Maryland, right? And so he's going to be coming up here in a minute, but who's been seeing the progress since last week? Anybody notice any extra progress on the building over there? It's just neat seeing it come to fruition. I'm so excited. We talked about last week just some of our Sunday night for our mid-year ministry and church updates, and so kind of our next steps. And so we're excited to see where the Lord is taking this church. Remember, the best is not behind us, it's ahead of us. He's not finished with what he's doing in us and through us and in this place. So praise the Lord for that. And so at this time, hey, I'm going to have Steve come up here and preach the best sermon I've ever preached before. So come on up here, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Billy. Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Joshua chapter 1, if you want to turn in your Bibles, we will be in Joshua chapter 1 and a couple of verses surrounding Joshua 1 this morning. I just want to say what a privilege it is to be here today and yesterday as well. And I was able to meet so many of you yesterday and some more of you today. And I just want to say you have a great, wonderful church family and church here. It is a blessing to be to be able to have a church like Brimley Baptist Church. I don't know what your background is, what your experience is, but there are not a lot of churches that have life in them like what we already experienced this morning. And it's not because of any individual, it's because of what God is doing here. And praise the Lord for His work and what He is doing. But I want to thank you for your hospitality. I've just been overwhelmed with hospitality since I've been here the last couple of days. For Pam and Eglin, just their graciousness to me. I got to spend a few hours with them yesterday. And for Pastor Billy and just the team here, and just so thankful for the opportunity to be here this weekend and to share the Word of God. If you have in your Bibles this morning, Joshua chapter 1, I'd like to read a couple of verses, then we'll pray and jump into what God has for us this morning. The Bible says this in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I was amazed this morning at the worship. I think you'll see how many of the songs will tie directly in to what God wants for us this morning through the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to gather as a local assembly and worship you. Lord, I give you praise this morning for what you've already done in our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to corporately sing your praises and lift up your name today. Lord, we recognize that your goodness is all over each individual and all over this place. And Lord, thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you that we can sing about it. Lord, I pray this morning that you would meet with us, that you would teach us from your word, that it would not be the words of a preacher, but it would be the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts today. Lord, we give you praise for who you are, what you're doing in our midst. Lord, be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Moses is dead. The man who stood in front of Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." The man who lifted his rod over the Red Sea and the water stood up like a wall so the children of Israel could march right through. The man who went up to the mountain and he came back with the law of God in his hands and his face still shining. He is now dead. And there's a man standing beside that is named Joshua. Every person in that camp has turned around and is now looking directly at him. The estimates would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million people now looking at Joshua. A river is now at flood stage. Beyond that river are walled cities that are in front of them. Giants are in the land, and no Moses, probably the greatest leader that Israel had ever had, and he is no longer available. And what does God do? God says one phrase to Joshua, and you just heard it. He said, "Be strong and of a good courage." And then God says it again and again. And Moses had already said it to Joshua before he died. The people have said it to him as well. 7 different times that phrase is said in just a matter of days. That one man hears that phrase repeated over and over and over again. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Nobody says something 7 times unless someone hearing it needs to hear that phrase. God knew exactly what Joshua was about to walk into. But can you hear me this morning? He also knows exactly what you walked in here with carrying this morning. Maybe it's a relationship challenge. Maybe it's a marital issue or children. A child has walked away from God. Maybe you're having difficulty parenting your young children right now. Maybe it's a work relationship. You've got a difficult coworker. Maybe it's someone that is in your family that is lost and you just want desperately for them to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Maybe for you it's financial pressure. Maybe you faithfully give back to God, but you aren't sure how your finances are going to work and you don't know if God is going to stretch them. Maybe you've recently experienced a job loss. Maybe it's a health report. Maybe it's simply loneliness. You know, you can be sitting in a room full of people and still feel extremely lonely. Maybe it's recently you've lost a loved one. I hope that as you leave this morning that you will understand that you can also be strong and of a good courage. You see, God does not make you strong by removing the impossible. He makes you strong by going with you. I want you to see four sources of strength that Joshua and subsequently the children of Israel were able to have because of what God was teaching him in his early leadership here. Number one, if you're taking notes, he received strength through God's promises. Strength through God's promises. The children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. Moses led them out with miracle after miracle, including what we talked about, the parting of the Red Sea, which carried them through that dry ground to safety. The next stop for the children of Israel is the Promised Land. This is a land that they had been hearing about for generations. It was what they believed in. It was what they were excited to get to. They knew it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey because God had said so. All they had to do was claim God's promise, and the land was there. So what did they do? They sent spies into the land. They sent 12 men to go survey the land and see what they were up against. And when the spies came back to give a report, they came back and said, it's everything that God said it would be. It's already a prepared land. It already is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It is already everything that God said it would be. And then there's one word that their entire history pivots on. 10 spies came back and said this one word, nevertheless. Nevertheless. And they began to say, there's giants in the land. There's walled cities. And they start to see that they can't go in because they don't see a way that they can take the land. They forfeited what God had for them, what God had been promising them for generations, they were willing to forfeit. They began to complain. Only Joshua and Caleb believed that they should go claim the victory because God had said it. So for 40 years, the children of Israel wandered the wilderness for one reason, because they didn't claim God's promises. Can you imagine 40 years of walking in a circle because of one bad report? And now, they're standing at the threshold of the Promised Land once again. Joshua is about to be their leader. He is charged to be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because of God's promises. Now look at it in our passage. Look in verse 1. The Bible says this. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, he's promising them again, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What God is saying to Joshua is, I'm promising you the same promise that I gave to Moses, the same promise I had given for generations. I'm promising you once again, afresh and anew, that my promises will not fail. My promises are not void. When you go into the land, I will give it to you. It's not about the strength of your hand. So you can be strong and of good courage because of the promises of God. You know, Joshua had heard that before. Joshua had heard that several days before from Moses. When Moses is about to go off of the scene, Moses speaks to Joshua. Just a few pages back in your Bibles, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, in verse 7, it says this, "And Moses called unto Joshua, and he said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage." There's our phrase again. "For thou must go with this people," and here's the promise, "unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Moses says to Joshua, God told Joshua, you can be strong and of a good courage because of my promises. Moses says to Joshua, you can be strong and of a good courage because of God's promises. Moses says it to the people then as well. In verse 3 of that same passage, he said, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee." And then here's the promise, "He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said." It's the promise of the Lord. God also charged Joshua in that same passage in verse 23. He says, "And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them," promise, "and I will be with thee." Joshua could be strong and of a good courage as he became the leader who would take Israel into the promised land because of God's promises. Now let's go back to the list that we shared as we began, the one that you might be sitting there thinking about since we talked about it. Because God has already spoken about the need that you walked in here with as well. Maybe you walked in here and you, I really need to start here because if we get this wrong, we don't get any of them right. Some of you may be sitting here this morning, you say, I've never come to Christ. I've never trusted Him as my personal Savior. Maybe you're religious, that's why you're here on a Sunday morning. You're here, but you've never actually become a part of the family of God. God did not say to you to try harder and work your way there. He told you exactly what to do through His Word. He put it in a couple of verses. Romans 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and then look at what He promises on the other side. He says, thou shalt be saved. You can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You can know for sure that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, Abba, Father, because of what Jesus did. He paid the price for your sin debt so that you can have life eternal through His name. It's not a might be, it's not a hope to be, it's a shall be. That's a promise that the Lord has given. That is the door, and every promise that hinges upon all of that, that one promise that we are given, all of the other promises of Scripture hinge on the other side of the door. So for those of us that might be feeling like we walked in here in having trouble in our life, Psalm 34 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them, and delivereth them out of all their trouble." So cry out to Him. Maybe you're afraid this morning, and Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. My peace give I unto you." Stop carrying it and take the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ offers to you, Christian. Maybe you don't know how you're going to make it through with all of the pressures and financial struggles that you have. And Paul told the church that was giving until it hurt, and he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Maybe you're carrying something that you have done in your past, and the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, we don't have to continue carrying those things from our past. We don't have to continue beating ourselves up about the things that we once did. God says, "Hey, you can put those things in the past if you confess your sin. I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. You don't have to live there anymore. You can live in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the promises are true for us, just like they were for Moses, just like they were for Joshua. Only the difference is, Moses didn't claim God's promises. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and Joshua now has a choice. I can believe God's promises and go and claim the promised land, or I can continue to wander. I can continue to be the leader that doesn't believe in what God has promised his people. Maybe you're sitting here and you don't know what to do next. You feel totally lost. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Trust him. Stop leaning on your own, figuring it out. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Not you. He will do that for you. See, Israel is standing on the edge of a land that God had already promised them. They had already wandered for 40 years anyway because they would not lay hold of it. Can I encourage you this morning? Do not spend 40 years in a wilderness, standing next to a promise that you refuse to claim. You know where God wants us to be? He wants us to be in the book of Joshua. See, the book of Joshua is representative of the victorious Christian life. Jesus said, "I come to give life, and I come to give it more abundantly." We can live an abundant life because of what Jesus did in our life. The book of Joshua for the nation of Israel represents that victorious life, and that for us as a believer, the victorious Christian life. God wanted them to be into that land. God wanted to give them a victorious Christian life, and God wants to give you this morning a victorious Christian life. Where do we find all these promises, by the way? Well, the passage tells us in verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And this morning, many times we forget about God's promises because we're not in God's book. We need to be in God's word to be reminded of his promises day after day after day. The way that we get through life is not by showing up on Sunday. It's by being in his word on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And as we are in his word, God continues to remind us, "Hey, I've got a promise for you. I've got a promise for you." Just claim the promises of God. See, God doesn't make you strong by removing the impossible. He makes you strong by going with you. We see, first, strength through God's promises. Number two, strength through God's presence, through his presence. God is speaking to Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1, and he says in verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." In verse 9 it says, "Have not I commanded to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Moses told the people the same thing back in Deuteronomy 31. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage." In verse 6, "Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Moses is steadying an entire nation with one fact: God himself is going with them. And then Moses comes to Joshua And he tells Joshua the same thing. He says, Moses, in verse 7, called unto Joshua, Deuteronomy 31, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Notice the two prepositions there. He goes with the people, but he also goes before the people. Joshua is not walking into that land first. God is walking into that land first. And the reason he can be strong and of a good courage is because God is going before him, he is going with him, and he will always be there with him. What does God promise us? Well, Hebrews 13:5 tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for ye, he has said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. You know, friends will fail you. Family will fail you. Sometimes pastors will even fail you, but people will continue to fail you, but God will never fail you. See, when you're walking in God's will, he is always with you. He will not fail you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You may be going through something right now and you say, Pastor Steve, no one understands what I'm going through. I feel all alone. I'm here to tell you this morning that no one may understand what you're going through, but based upon the Word of God, there is one that understands. There is one that is willing to walk with you and strengthen you as you battle the circumstances of life. Be strong and of a good courage. We may not always feel God's presence, but we can trust his promise. He is with us. You see, God does not make you strong by removing the impossible. He makes you strong by going with you. We've seen strength through God's promises, strength through God's presence. Number three, strength through God's preacher. Moses served as God's appointed leader to bring Israel out of Egypt and to prepare them for the promised land. But he was not only their physical leader, he was also their spiritual leader. Now Joshua would serve as God's appointed leader to take them into it. You see, God works through appointed leaders to strengthen the faith of his people. God sends the word through a man. You see, the people did not hear this directly from heaven. They heard it from Moses. Joshua did not receive his charge in private. He received it in the sight of all Israel. God could have spoken directly to those 2 million people, but he chose to speak through one. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of a good courage. Moses is strengthening the nation. He says, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is which doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Moses is strengthening the faith of the people. That their forefathers had stood at the same spot 40 years earlier and they did not believe God's promises. So Moses knew, I need to strengthen the faith of the people. And God did that through his leader, through the one that he had given that strength to present. And then he does it through his successor. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Moses is strengthening his successor. Be strong and of a good courage. You can go into this land because of what God is willing to do. You see, godly leadership does not end with the leader. Moses spends his last days making the next man strong in the Lord. Paul did that with Timothy as well. God commissions now the next leader. Deuteronomy 31:23 says, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear them, and I will be with thee. The charge is public. It is specific, and it comes with that promise attached. Be strong and of a good courage. Brimley Baptist Church, can I say something to you this morning? you can be thankful that you have a pastor who faithfully challenges you with the Word of God. It's not about his opinions. It's not about the circumstances of life. It's not about politics. It's not about anything else. But thus saith the Lord. You see, his authority doesn't come with his eloquence. His authority doesn't come because he is the pastor of the church. His authority comes based upon the Word of God and the calling that God has put on his life. And when he stands in the pulpit and is able to say, thus saith the Lord, we can be strong and of a good courage. We're strengthened by God's preacher because of what God is doing in our midst. And every week we can go out and be strong and of a good courage because of what God is teaching us through the Word of God. We've seen strength through God's promises, strength through God's presence, strength through God's preacher. And lastly, this morning, strength through God's people, through his people. Look later in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. The people of God rallied together to recognize what God was doing in the life of Joshua. And they were an encouragement to him. You know, you as people can be an encouragement to the leaders that are a part of Brimley Baptist Church. You can encourage your pastor, your associate pastor, the leaders of different ministries. One of the most stressful jobs in the world is a pastor. You don't have to take my word for it because I'm a fellow pastor. But Forbes magazine rated it in the 9 toughest leadership roles. Pastor sits right in the middle of that list. Often a pastor does not hear from people unless they dislike something that was either said or done within the church. But you and I can be a tremendous encouragement to our pastor. We can pray for him and his family. We can send notes of encouragement. We can thank him for the countless hours of ministry that he puts in week after week. For a pastor leading a church to accomplish what God wants accomplished is a daunting task. Just as Joshua had a daunting task ahead of him. How encouraging it must have been for Joshua to hear from the people that they were with him, that they recognized God calling in his life, and that they would serve and encourage right alongside of him. How encouraging also it is for a pastor to hear from God's people that they are with him, that they recognize God's calling on his life, and that they will serve and they will share the gospel right alongside of him. We strengthen our leaders. We can also strengthen each other. There are people that walked in this morning carrying a really large burden. You may not be able to see the weight that they are carrying. You might not even notice it on their face. Some are good at hiding it. You may never notice it at all. But one of the reasons that we gather together every single week is to be a blessing, an encouragement, a lifter of other people. You want godly friends who will encourage you. Will be a part of service opportunities and group opportunities. You want your faith strengthened each week. Be around God's people faithfully. Be one who helps strengthen another person's faith. We can strengthen our leaders, strengthen each other, and then we strengthen through service. Here's the way that it most often happens. It most often happens not in conversation, but shoulder to shoulder. We gather strength in our faith by being together, and we gather strength by serving together. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Look at what the people actually said to Joshua one more time. Verse 16, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You see, nobody drafted them. Nobody guilted them into it. They looked at a new leader standing in front of them, standing in front of an impossible assignment, and they said, we're going with you. We're going to be involved. We're going to do whatever it takes that God called us to do. We're going to be supportive, and we're going to go with you. And that's the moment Joshua stopped being one man staring at a raging river, and he started realizing that God had a bigger plan for what he wanted in their life. Some of you may have been here a long time, and you're still trying to find your place here at the church. Not because you don't want to, but it just hasn't come up. If that's you, I want to encourage you with something this morning. Yesterday, we met with a group of volunteers, and one of the things they're going to do is they're going to be asking you to help alongside of them in different areas of service in the coming weeks. Hey, step out of your comfort zone and be willing to serve the body of Christ. God called all of us to serve the body of Christ, and you have opportunities that are here. This community needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have opportunities right here at the church to serve the body of Christ and to reach a community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It might be with children. It might be a set of hands that you knows how to fix what is broken. It might be that you are a person who notices when somebody is missing. It might be that you have a truck and a Saturday that is free. You don't have to know how to get involved. You just have to be willing to sign up and be willing to be involved and talk with somebody about your willingness. See, people wait for to feel strong before they step into anything. Israel did not get strong standing on the east bank of the Jordan waiting to feel ready. That river never stopped moving. You know how they got strong? By starting to walk into it. Strength did not come first. It came on the way. Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Moses said that to the people. Be strong and of a good courage. Moses said that to Joshua two times. Be strong and of a good courage. God says it to Joshua three times. Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. And then the people say it to Joshua as they rally around. Be strong and of a good courage. Seven times. The number of completion. The number of perfection. The number of fulfillment. Seven different times. Can I encourage you? I don't know what you walked in here with this morning, but God does. And whatever God has allowed in your life that you walked in here struggling with, God already knows. And we can continue to walk without God's help, not claiming His promises, not relying on His word, not relying in faith that He is walking with us in His presence. We can continue walking like the children of Israel did for 40 years, or we could take a step today saying, God, I don't know how you're going to accomplish it, but I trust you. I'm willing to do what you have called me to do. I'm willing to claim your promises. I'm willing to step out and be strong and of a good courage, even when I can't see how it's all going to work out. I'm willing to take that step of faith because I believe you. When we think of God's will for our lives, it seems impossible. Can I encourage you this morning? It is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Notice what God never asked Joshua for. He never asked Joshua for a strategy, a guarantee. He just asked him to go and to obey and to trust the one who goes before him that he will not fail. What does he say to us? In Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to notice the order. The mercies of God come first. We don't surrender to earn mercy. We surrender because He's already given it to us. the mercies of God are all over our lives. And because of his mercies, it's our reasonable service that, God, I'm willing to do whatever you're asking me to do. I'm willing to stand on your promises. I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to know that your presence is going to go with me. I'm willing to step out in faith, even though I may not know how it's going to end. I may not know how the solutions are going to come in. I may not know how the prayer is going to get answered. But I'm willing to lay my life on the altar because of what you have already done for me. What did he do for us? He put his own son on a cross. He died your death so that you can have life, and you can have life more abundantly. Joshua did not walk into that land because he was strong. He walked in because he was surrendered to a God who was. I want to leave you with one more name this morning. It's not Joshua. If we go back to those 12 men who went in to spy out the land, you remember the report. 10 of them came back and said, the land is everything God told us it would be, but we cannot have it. The reason that they gave, Numbers 13, they said there were giants there, the son of Anak. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Think about that. In our own sight, we see these giants, and in our own sight, we were as grasshoppers. 10 grown men standing in a valley, looking up at those giants, and what they saw was not the giants, what they saw was themselves, and they decided that they were insects. 2 men stood in that same valley. They saw the same giants, the same height, the same walls, the same everything. Joshua and a man named Caleb. And because the nation believed the 10 instead of the 2, God said, fine, not one of you goes in. You will wander until every last one of you is buried out here. I want us to do the math for just a moment, because I don't think we ever do. There were at least 600,000 fighting men in that camp. And God said every one of them will die in the wilderness. 40 years of wandering. That's roughly 40 funerals a day. Every day. For almost 40 years. And Caleb, he walked every mile of it. He didn't do anything wrong. He was right the first time. He stood up in front of that whole congregation and told them the truth, and they picked up rocks to stone him. And then he spent 40 years burying the people who did not believe his report, who did not believe God's promises. Then in later in the book of Joshua, in chapter 14, the land is finally being divided. The war is mostly over. Everyone's getting their portion. The good bottom land is the easy ground. And then this old man walks up to Joshua and says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, Caleb. And he said, these 45 years. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. So for 45 years, he's counting from the day Moses sent him in as a spy. Now he's 85 years old. And here's what he asked for. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. He says, give me this mountain. He's 85 years old, and he does not ask for the valley that would be easy. He does not ask for a quiet place. He does not ask for a piece of ground that was easy to go into, where a man his age could sit down and rest. He asked for the high country. He asked for the walled cities. And listen to what he says is up there. The Anakims, the giants. The exact same giants that turned 10 grown men into what felt like grasshoppers, the very thing that cost an entire generation the promised land and put 40 funerals a day in that wilderness, an 85-year-old man now points up at that mountain and says, give me that one. Why would he do that? It's right in the middle of the verse. What he says is this: if so be, the Lord will be with me. See, that's it. That's the whole reason. Caleb was not stronger than those 10 spies. He was not braver. He did not have better information. He did not see a smaller giant. He didn't get a different report. He stood in the same valley and he looked up at those same giants. The difference was not what Caleb saw. It was what he knew was standing next to him. See, God does not make you strong by removing the impossible. He makes you strong by going with you. And 6 different times, Scripture says the same thing about Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord. Not perfectly, but holy. Brimley Baptist, whatever is standing on your mountain this morning, God is not likely to move it before you get there, but He will go with you. So ask Him for that mountain, because God does not make you strong by removing the impossible. He makes you strong by going with you. This morning, you can be strong and have a good courage because we have a God that is faithful. Can you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the Word of God. And Lord, it's amazing to me to see in just a matter of probably days between Deuteronomy chapter 31 to Joshua chapter 1, how this refrain kept being repeated, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Lord, you knew exactly what Joshua and the children of Israel needed. But Lord, you also know our hearts. And as some have walked in this morning, they walked in carrying a heavy load. They walked in carrying a burden that maybe no one else knows about. There may be some that have been battling all week long and walked in trying to look the part this morning, but they know there's division within their family. Lord, I pray this morning that we would not rely on our own strength, our own intellect, our own designs, but we would be strong and of a good courage as we lay down our lives as a living sacrifice. Lord, help us to not hold anything back, but we would give it all to you, every part of it. Because, Lord, we don't want to walk through the wilderness in circles for 40 years. We want you to have every space of our life. Lord, I pray for that one that might have walked in here today that has never trusted you as their personal Savior. Lord, there's no reason for them to leave this space without knowing for sure that they have you as Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that you would convict that one, that you would help them to make that decision today, that they would give their life to you. As you continue to have your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Billy.
You know, let's keep pondering what we've heard today. You know, one of the things that was striking to me as we're just, you know, reflecting on the message is, will you be one of the ones buried in the wilderness, or will you be one of the ones that go into the promised land? Now, I want you to realize this. Both groups of people were saved, or in the sense, they were delivered from Egypt. Those who wandered in the wilderness, they were delivered, but they had not yet experienced the victory, so to say, that victorious Christian life. They hadn't yet stepped out on the promises of God. The promises were before them, but they refused to put their faith in God to believe that He was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. 40 funerals a day for 40 years. Or will you be like Caleb, who will say, man, I believe and I'm going to continue to hold on to God's promises. I'm going to continue to believe that God's able to do the impossible. You know, I think about when God begin to send all these people here and God, what are we going to do? How are we going to walk through this? You know, we'll build a building. That's impossible, God. It is with you. It is with your people, but it's not with me. But let's think about something greater. That person who walks through the doors, our sin that's within us, it's impossible. For there is none good. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. It's impossible for us. But Jesus says, if you're willing to believe in me, hey, I can do the impossible. We're going to see it in Matthew chapter 9. The question is, are you willing to believe? Are you willing to believe and continue to pray that God can restore your marriage? That God can repair those relationships? Are you going to seek first the kingdom of God and trust him to add all these things unto you? Are you going to continue to doubt and view yourself as less than when God is telling you, hey, I can give you the strength that you need. I just need you to step out and go. The choice is yours, but the power's with him. Are you willing to step out by faith today? Maybe that is to trust him as your Savior. Maybe that is to step into that capacity of serving and believing that, hey, God wants to use you. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but let's pray it in as the worship team comes. Father God, I love you, and I thank you for the clear word that was given out today. Lord, to us, your people today, be strong and of good courage. Lord God, the promises that you make for us, the promises that you have given to us, Lord God, are so absolutely true, Lord, if we just believe. If we believe and take that step, Lord, towards you, trusting in you, Lord God, I pray that this message would resonate in our heart. I pray that your word would not return void. I pray that if someone is here today that is lost, that they would take that step of faith and put it in you, calling out to you, believing in you, confessing their sin to you, Lord, realizing that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man will ever get to the Father except he go through the Son. Lord God, I pray that you would work far beyond what we can even comprehend today. Lord, nail your word to our hearts. Fasten it with us as we go today. Give us the courage and strength as we step out on your promises. We ask and pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.